3 John, verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for Brother Bernard being with us. Bless him as he'll soon come and preach to us. Father, fill with thy spirit, speak to every heart. Might you be glorified. Might you direct this church, every individual in it, in this thing of missions, in our place of service and giving, whatever that might be. And Lord, I pray that your will would be done. Bless the song, this special now to follow, and speak to our hearts, and then Brother Bernard, as he would preach to us this morning. And Father, we pray, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And so I thank God for his grace. Whether you're a missionary abroad or a missionary at home, God's grace enables the Christian. The name of the song is Grace.
When I am faulty. morning, I still will find you there. Your eyes will watch over me, your love will forgive me, and when I am faltering, I still will find you there.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Our God's a faithful God, isn't he? He's a faithful God. Amen. Brother Bernard, would you come minister the word to us as the Lord has directed you?
Amen. Thank you, Brother Crawford. We go back quite some time, back in Bible school, back in the 90s, I know, and then I was at Trinity from way back in December 1985. When I got stationed at the Naval Hospital there in Jacksonville, Florida, and never thought that I would remain in Florida, much less Jacksonville, because the initial plan was to be there for about a year and a half, and I was supposed to either move with the Marines as a medical corpsman or on ship. And God enabled somehow that I had chosen to be with the Marines out in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and before I got moved over there, the request was that the government wanted to save money, so the government was giving me the option to remain in Jacksonville, of all things, and I decided to remain in Jacksonville for the main reason that I was thinking about, you know, going to Bible school after that, and Trinity already had a Bible school there, so I didn't think I probably needed to go to any other Bible school since I'm already there in Jacksonville, and that's what really made me to make the decision to remain in Jacksonville, and so I told them that I was going to remain, and so they gave me that option, thank God, and I've been there ever since. Until unless I there on the field, and so it is a blessing as I listen to the hymns that was chosen this morning from the time I walked in. Some of them I never heard of it, but you know, guess what? Just the message in those hymns touched my heart. You know, I think whoever chose them did a very, very good job. And just the message about missions and then our special we just had. I don't know why somebody wants anything other than those things. You know, people look for all sorts of things to be, quote, remain in church. And I don't think they need none of those things. That's what I tell them all the time. All you have to have is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit never guides you to be absent from church in the first place. And so he said, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. And if that is the case, and you're saying you need this, you need dancing and all these kind of things that people feel that they want, I explain to them, you know, that is your emotion. And I even then, Kiroso, I encounter that all the time. And I said, well, if you need that kind of stuff to remain, if you feel the Holy Spirit when you get that stuff, all you have to do is go to the dance hall there on the island, and they have that. You have the same feelings. I said, you need to understand, as human beings, unbelievers have the same feelings as you. They go to the dance hall because they have them feelings. They have to have this loud music. They have to have everything blasting in order for them to come. And I said, if the church operates on that same principle, it's a wrong principle. And I said, all you have to have is the Holy Spirit. That's the difference between you and them out there. Amen. They don't have the Holy Spirit, but they have the same emotions as you do, because we all are human beings. And I explained to them those things, and I said, you don't have to have none of these things for you to be in church. All you have to do is obey the word. That's it. And some of them get it, some of them don't. But this morning, really, I count it a privilege. I wrote down some things, and I already forgot what I wrote down. Yeah. Because I usually forget things. I mean, when I talk, I tend to forget things. And before you know it, time goes, and then I remember an hour after I get done. that it comes to my mind, you know. And so I thank God for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for your hospitality, for the provision of the home and the vehicle to help in the paying of the vehicle to be able to travel to come over here. I don't take that for granted. And so I want to thank you for that. As I saw Brother Crawford's wife signing, she's doing all these things that I don't understand, not one movement, you know. I said, man, for me, it seemed it would be impossible to be able to do that. And yet, that's how I felt when I went to Curacao 15 years ago, hearing a language that I never heard before, never understood. I did not even hear words. I tell people that, you know, at least, you know, in Spanish I might hear words I don't understand. But Papimento, I did not even hear words. All I'm hearing is gibberish. It did just clanging. That's all it was. And I thought I would never learn that language, never learn it good, none of those things. But I thank God. God had prepared me through language school that you feel that way. But you remember I told you we have our feelings, our emotion, but we don't have to allow the emotion to control us. I believe we have to allow the Holy Spirit to control us, and then when it controls us, it controls our emotions. And so I said, you know, God allow me to come here for a reason. People are here lost. I mean, I believe there were churches there, still are churches there that preach the gospel, but it's very few, far and few between. The vast majority, I don't believe, preaches the gospel. They have a counterfeit gospel. And there's a lot of counterfeit gospels out there, and people are believing counterfeit gospels, and they are not saved by the counterfeit gospel. You see the difference? You see, Satan is in the work of the counterfeit. And so I thank you for your friendship this morning. Many of you, your friendship, you remember me. Some probably are new and don't remember me for the last time. But it's always a blessing to be among God's people. Amen. I mean, I always say it doesn't matter where we came from, whether it's down south, whether it's up north, wherever it might be, different languages, whatever. The one thing we have in common is that we have our Heavenly Father in heaven, and we have that Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is in all of us, and that is enough for we to be able to fellowship one with another. And as this church has its mission conference, I remember 2 weeks ago, I was in Virginia, and I was to preach in a missions conference, one of my supporting churches at the missions conference, but I did not know I was the first speaker, and I did not even know I was supposed to speak or preach the message at that missions conference. I know that after I got there that morning. That's when I realized that. But thank God I had messages prepared, and I was able to preach that message that morning and then go to another church that evening. And then to now to be here, it seems like completely contrast on the East Coast, and then suddenly now on the West Coast, and then I have to go back to the East Coast again. But pray for all of that. This morning, I thought, you know, how would I preached the opening passage in this missions conference, and I thought to go back to a passage of scripture probably all of us probably know by heart, but I don't want us to say it by heart. We want to go back and read the word of God. You see, it's a simple passage of scripture. We all know it. We all use it, even probably on visitation, on witnessing to the lost. But you see, the lost often sometimes don't even understand. And we'll go into that a little bit this morning and then this afternoon, because it's basically two messages are going to come out of the same passage of scripture. And I pray that it will be a blessing to all of you. In John 3:16, that is the passage of scripture we're going to use this morning. John chapter 3 and verse 16. John 3:16, familiar passage of scripture that even goes with Mark 16 and verse 15, which we will look at later on today. John chapter 3 and verse 16. I don't know. Let me see the time. Hopefully I won't forget. I'm trying to remember everything and put in limitations. All right. John chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us, and we know that. But dear Father, there's a world out there that don't even know that you love them. Love them just as much as you love us who have believed the gospel. And I pray this morning, as the message goes out in this opening message of this missions conference, that the Lord will go forth and the members here at Mid Valley Baptist Church in Corvallis, the Lord will see and know the love of God and be willing to give what you have put in their hearts to be able to give for the cause of worldwide missions. It is given that it has enabled me to be there in Curacao, to see a few people get saved already, and the Lord looking forward to seeing more people come to know Christ as their personal Savior. I pray that you'll help me to be able to speak clearly, to be able, dear Lord, to preach the word, and dear Lord, to be an encouragement to others, to be able to edify the believers. In Jesus' name, amen. When we mention love, we know that here in this world, everybody probably, I believe, maybe there might be an exception here and there, but would probably consider that particular individual or individuals who are the exceptions to maybe we would classify them as being strange or weird. Understand? Everybody, I believe, wants to be loved. Everybody has that basic desire to know that they are loved by someone else. Now, we have different levels of love. All right? We have the phileo love, for example. We have the agape love, which is the love of God. And we have the eros love, which is not in the scriptures. But you see that all the time. That's what the world tend to bring forth, is the more the eros type love. And you see, if we're not careful, the believer will have that type of ideas of love, either that or the phileo love. I find that the phileo love is one of the issues that a lot of people tend to want to go by instead of the agape. You'll find that the word of God uses agape a lot for we that we ought to show love one to another, or we ought to love one another. And the agape love is a different love. It is the love that the creator of heaven on earth is, right? God is love. He is the fountain. And so it would be wise, if you and I want to know love, that we ought to go to the source of love. You see, if I am thirsty, I will look for a source of water. The source could be a water fountain. I would not go to Walmart and go to the automotive aisle and take any fluid there, such as oil, and drink it down and say it's fluid. You see, because oil is not water. It has a different property. I probably would not go to the juice aisle, so some people do, and they buy juice to quench their thirst. I don't find that juice quenches my thirst. I like the old plain water. You see? That quenches my thirst, and when it goes down, it feels much better than even juice. Sometimes when I ask for water, people say, "Would you like some juice?" I said, "No, if I want a juice, I'll ask for juice. But I really want water because I am so thirsty." And you see, if someone wants to be loved, they ought to go to the source of love. A lot of people make the mistake of not going to the source of love. And so therefore they feel unloved. And I'll tell you why they feel unloved. You know, I saw a documentary many years ago. I don't even remember the name of the documentary, so I cannot even go back. But what caught my eye had to do with, they were doing a documentary on music. And what have been, for example, the number one songs in the world. Can you imagine, you know, number one songs on the chart? whether it's whatever style of music it might be, they will claim. And so they said that there was something common with the songs that made it to number one all throughout history. It doesn't matter what it was. And the one thing that was common, they said, about the number one song, they all had to do with love. Love songs. Go back and think of what you heard back in maybe the 60s, 70s, maybe the 50s, and see which one that climbed the chart. They all generally had to do with love. People want to be loved. But the Word of God tells us God loved the world. He so loved the world. You see, God's love, the world does not even love him. They don't even perceive or understand the love of God. And that is why it's important that you and I understand the love of God, and in a missions conference like this, that we know that we serve a God that loves the entire world. You see, in human love or human feelings, I have seen, and you know it, we all see that, people that claim they did not love certain individuals or didn't like them when they first met them, but somehow down the road they find themselves in love with that person, quote unquote, and then they eventually marry that person. Can you imagine? They got people that say those kind of things. They got people that claim they love and they get married and then they turn around and hate. We see that all the time. In divorce cases, I met a believer one time. Well, I didn't meet that person. Person spoke to me on the phone and told me how she don't love the ex anymore. And when she said that, I realized this individual does not even understand what love is. So I asked the question just for she to bring out what is in her mind. Because I know whatever it is in there, and kind of knew what it was, it's completely wrong. But I wanted her to know that it's completely wrong to say you don't love. I said, do you realize the Bible says to love our enemies? How can you not love the ex if he's supposed to love your enemies? You understand? She was basing it upon some emotion. Not the love of God, which has nothing to do with our emotion. But God made a choice, the agape love, that he loved a world that is unlovable. Think of all the people and people, quote, groups that are in the world. Now the Bible will tell us he divides the world primarily in two areas. You're either saved or not saved, right? Then you are either Jew or a Gentile. And we know who Jews are, all right? Descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Anyone who doesn't fall in that category, guess what? They are Gentiles. You see? And every one of these groups will have their different, maybe, languages, different customs, but yet, God still loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so when this individual told me she did not love anymore, so I asked the question, when did you know that you love? And when did you know that that love ended? Because if the lights went out in here, I can say it went out at certain time. There is no electrical power. Because I know these bulbs are lit by what? Electrical power. So you can turn it on and it can be turned off. But I don't see in the Word of God that the love of God is ever can be turned on or turned off. You understand? And I'll show you why. It is not based upon circumstances. Remember I told you, it's not based upon feelings. But it's there, and we'll go into that a little bit. And so God's love, when I ask you that question, when did you know you love? And when did you know that you don't love? And she brought up, when we were in love, we were dating, you know, things like that. They went back into these games. We went to Pizza Hut. I asked the question immediately, what does Pizza Hut have to do with love? I said, do you realize an enemy Let's say someone wants to murder you. They know you like pizza. They can take you to Pizza Hut with the intent to maybe murder you later. You understand the difference? Now you get bogged down to something that you like. And you say, oh, well, they love me. Can they take me to Pizza Hut? No, not necessarily. A person can take you to Pizza Hut because maybe they love you, but another person can take you there because it's not that they love you, they hate you and want to get rid of you. You see, you have to go further back than what you are seeing out there and your feelings. And immediately when I asked the question, she said, well, she went right back to charity. Love does not seek its own. Charity does not do this. All of this thing, but in the Bible it says love. You see? And suddenly I sensed a completely different emotion coming out of her. Because she realized her idea was completely wrong. Because if that is the idea, guess what? There will be people, groups that have behaviors that you and I might not like. There are people that eat certain things that you and I will not eat. And there are certain things that we eat that they do not eat. You understand that? But in spite of all of those things, guess what? We still are able and should love them. In spite of the hatred for the believer, in spite of the world's hatred for God, God still loves the world. You see? That love is a love, really what we call a love of choice. Man, that's going to go a long way. It has nothing to do with verbally telling a person, I love you. They got people that think, at least for me personally, they say, if you don't think, tell people they love them, they don't think that they love. And for me, if someone ever tell me that they love me, it probably never occurred to me that they hate me. You understand? Because it's not them telling me that they love me gives me any type of idea that they love me. I always say I see that more in their behaviors. And you'll find that in the Word of God. You see? And they got a lot of people that can tell you that they love you, but yet it's not love. Everything is self-centered, completely contrary to love. Manipulation. You see? Goes along. And so God's love is a love that is worldwide. Imagine when God created man, he created one man. And out of that one man, he created the woman. And from that point on, every single person that has ever came into this world has been born of a woman. And you know, they say we pass on genes. Can you imagine we all have the genes of Adam in us? Every single one of us. Descendants of Adam. Wow, that's powerful, huh? We all have, nothing has changed. Things have changed because of sin, but we still carry on those genes that Adam had. Somebody told me, can you imagine all the genes that Adam, just imagine that in Adam, the entire human race was formed. The entire. And God loved the world. A world that does not worship God like he ought to be worshipped. A world that instead of choosing God to worship, they choose idols to worship. A world instead of loving the Son, they hate him. In fact, Jesus Christ said, they will hate you, just as they hated me. But you see, in this conference, we think of the love of God, and let's see, look at what it is. Boy, my time is going quickly. I'm so used to speaking 1 hour and a half with these unbelievers. It continues in my mind. And so, the love of God, let me give you a few little things. You see, there is no nation, culture, or people that God does not love. Can you imagine? There is no nation, culture, or people that God does not love. Love. And so when we read in the Bible, for God so loved the world. And in that love, he didn't audibly say through a loudspeaker, I love you, world. I want you to know that I'm the creator and that I love you. He did not do that. He did not put his hands around them their shoulder and say, you know what? I love you. That is not how God demonstrates love, right? God demonstrated his love in that he gave. Well, that in of itself is powerful. That's why we're going to develop that even this afternoon. Because it will affect our giving to missions. If we see love that way. God love. His love is not increased, does not increase or diminish because of cultural or physical defect or action of a person. You understand that? He gave us several, for example, parables. Let's take the one parable of the prodigal son who wasted his living. And yet the Bible tells us that the father was just out there waiting for him to return. You see, that love is not affected by a person's action. It's a love that continues irregardless of a person's behavior. Because that love is a love, like what that songwriter says, he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. God saw the world's need. The world is lost, without hope, without God. And God chose to love the world, and in doing so, he gave. Primarily, agape love is a love of choice. It's a love that is shown in giving. Wow. You know, oftentimes we look at, maybe go back to Ten Commandments or Old Testament to give. How about looking at how the greatest giver ever, God himself. He gave his only begotten son. And that's why that love is not diminished. I met a gentleman years ago. He was in his, 40s, hate his mother, hate his father. He claimed they disowned him. He tried to prove his behavior to his mom, and she still did not accept him. And so he could not accept her. That's a lost fella. And I told him, well, you're being just a hypocrite as your mother. You are, in fact, worse hypocrite than she is. Because you claim that you so-called love, but you hate your own mother who's been dead for all these years because of her behavior. Because you don't understand what love is. And imagine his perception of love is that he has to do something in order for his parents to accept him. And he sees God in that same manner. That's how the world sees God. You'd be surprised how many times in Kira. So I talk to people and they say, boy, if you just knew what I have done, you'd realize I'm far from being saved. Failing to understand, no matter what their behavior. Can you imagine taking the worst serial killer and taking the one who's not a serial killer like me, probably never murdered a person physically, maybe in my heart, but I've never done that, never thought of that, to do that to a person. So I've never been in prison for that, right? I've never even been in prison in my life. But you know what? The serial killer is loved of God just as he loves me, the same. You see the difference? That's why that serial killer, if he turns his heart to God, God accepts him. He's accepted by God. Why? Because God's love is not based upon his behavior. It's based upon just the source of love itself. Love. And so man's love is often want to be proven in different ways. But God's love is the same. It is proven the same to everyone. And that's why the message of missions going out into the world in different languages, different cultures, different belief system remains the same. That's why as a church, as you give, that the gospel might go out to the world, it's supposed to be the same message that you and I have. You see? Because we know from the word of God that he loves the world. Do you realize that those who did harm to this country back in 9/11, that God still loved them? Can you imagine? That's hard for us as our feelings, right? Our feelings are going to be hard to accept that. But God does not base his love on our feelings. Right? God loves these people just as much as he loves anyone here or anyone else in Curacao. He wants to save them. Their need is salvation. In spite of what they have done, he still sees that need. God loved the world, so loved the world that he gave. His love is shed in our hearts. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Let's look at that real quick. And I will stop. Romans 5 and verse 8. It's very, very important because we're going to go into that later on. Romans 5 and verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love, approved his love toward us in that, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now in verse 5 it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And so God's love is in the heart of every believer. Think of it, God is love. And the moment you and I got saved was the very moment we were justified. It's the very moment that love, the God who loved the world, his love is now shed or brought into our heart by the Holy Spirit. It's so important that we understand that. Wow. Because of God's love is in our hearts, guess what? It makes us now a source of God's love to the world. You understand that? Let me explain that easily. Sometimes I would hear people convey, and I believe the illustrations are not, it's well mean, but I don't believe it's correct. We would sometimes use the sun as light, right? And the moon as the believer who shines the light of the sun to the world. But I don't believe that is correct. Because the moon is a reflector of light. A reflector can only reflect what is external of it. You understand the difference? And we're going somewhere, so we understand that. God loved the world that he gave. The love of God is shed in our hearts. It's not external. Amen. Wow. Amen. The world needs a source of the love of God. When the love of God now is in our hearts, we become a source of the love of God. You see, I often use the brake light in our cars as an example to show that even that light has two functions, your brake. Now, I see these bulbs are a source of light, okay? They are a source of light. A source of something that is a source is always something that comes from within. Water fountain. It comes from within, right? You and I are not a source of love in and of ourselves. You understand that? What makes us a source of the love of God is when the love of God came in us. You take your brake light, we know that it's a reflector, correct? You have the reflectors on the back of the car. It reflects light. Some headlight hit it, you see it reflects it. We have reflectors on the road. That is a reflector, not a source of light. Planets are not a source of light. They are reflectors of light. But stars are a source of light. You see the difference? Because the light is coming from within. Now, in your vehicle, or all our vehicles, we have that brake light, which is red, that is functioning both ways. It functions as a reflector, but when you put a light bulb inside that reflector, that light bulb, remember, is the source of light, or a source of light. But once that light bulb gets put in and it lit, the entire thing now is what? A source of light. You understand the difference? Why? Because it has that light bulb inside.
That's why when you press the brake pedal, the light bulb lights up, and immediately what was a reflector of light now becomes what? A source of light. Because that light bulb, which is the actual source of light, is not outside it, it is now inside. You understand that? Therefore, that's why I say we are not a source, a reflector of light, but we become a source. That's why I believe Christ said, let your light so shine, because it is not outside of us, it is in us. You see? And so God's love has to be shown. And therefore, when the Holy Spirit came into our heart, we now become a source of that love. That's why I believe Jesus Christ said, "When how will men know that you are my disciple? Because of the love you have one for another." Agape, not phileo. Remember Peter's when Christ asked Peter, does he love him? He did not use phileo, he used agape, but Peter answered in phileo. And I believe it's the third time he said he used the agape. You understand the difference? Because phileo is brotherly love. Phileo is affected by how you feel about a person. But agape is not. And you see, the world needs. God proved his love to the world in that he gave his only begotten son. When you and I, now we have the Holy Spirit in us, become that source of light, no wonder when we go out and testify, what do we have in us? The Holy Spirit, number one. We also have his son living in us. And we bring that gospel to the world. That's why he said, go into all the world and preach what? The gospel. The gospel that you and I heard, that we got saved once we believed it, is the same gospel we are now going to take, not only here in Corvallis or even in Oregon or even in this country, but we are going to take it around the world. That's why when missionaries leave, they take the what? The gospel with them. They are a source of light to Gentiles. They are a source of light to whoever they are in contact with. They're supposed to be. Let your light so shine before men. You see, in 1 John he said that if a brother, imagine, lacks the world goods, right? That's how he says it. You see it, and you close your heart of compassion. He says, where is the love of God? Oh, powerful. Where is the love of God? You close your heart of compassion to one who is in need. You know, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the prime example of why he said, go do. One who fell among thieves, right? The Good Samaritan, the one the Jews hated. They would not even walk into Samaria. They went around. But yet you have this Jew that fell among thieves. He had a need, right? And yet the Samaritan, in spite of what the Jews felt about him, showed him what? He had compassion on him. And Christ said, so ye do. You see, the love of God transcends racial barriers, national barriers, whatever barrier people might put. I feel sorry for people who claim to be believers and they claim, they can go, they're this type of people, hater, they do all kind of stuff. And I said, no, that these people are not the problem. You are the problem. Amen. Quit putting things on other people that you yourself is the problem. You see? They're acting like the Jews. Can you imagine? They were not going to Samaria, but the Samaritan showed compassion. They don't even want to behave like the Samaritan. They're claiming people are not going to do this and do that. I said, no, don't say that people are like that. You are the one. Just like the one that told me he doesn't go to church because there are too many hypocrites in the church. I said, has it never occurred to you that the church needs someone like you to show them, the hypocrites, how not to be a hypocrite? If you know them, you should be in church to teach them that they might not be hypocrites. You see? But instead, you're choosing to stay out of church.
How will the hypocrites in there ever learn how not to be hypocrites? I told this man, do you realize that the word of God tells us that you have spiritual gifts, and those gifts are supposed to be, you are supposed to use it for what? To edify the believer, and you being on the beach on Sunday morning instead of in church, how can you edify the believer? I believe you are the problem. Did you witness to those on the beach? No, of course you wouldn't. What do you think the lost man would think of you? They'll say, boy, that's a hypocrite who reacts to me right there. He's supposed to be in church, but look at him enjoying the beach. You see? And so we need to learn that. And so we ought to be walked. No wonder the Bible says in Galatians 5:22, as we walk in this what? Spirit. Now we know that the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Ooh, that's powerful. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And love always manifests itself, at least agape love, in what? Giving. You see, you and I, which is now a source of the world, do we really love the world? Can you imagine? If we love the world like God loved the world, and God, who is the source of love, gave, the love of God that is in us will do what? It will give. You know, Paul says, for the husband to love his wife, how? Which way? As Christ loved the church and did what? Gave himself for it. That's powerful. Just in the same manner, God, who is love, loved the world, and in loving the world, he gave. The husband who loves as Christ loved the church will give. You see the parallel? He will give. And what manner? Sacrificially. We heard that. And we're going to get into that this afternoon in our giving to missions, our giving to one another. How do we give ourselves in the church, the love of God? We will do it sacrificially. The world needs the gospel. I believe people have given sacrificially many times. But I often wonder, do we really do it all the time? Do we really give of ourselves? Remember I gave you the example. God loved. He gave a sacrifice, correct? His only begotten Son. The world needed salvation. God gave all that he had. His only begotten Son. Let me show you an illustration and I'll be finished. The recipients of God's love or God's giving is us today. Right? We are here today because we are recipient of that love. Think if God had not given sacrificially his only begotten Son, you and I would not be here today. That's how powerful the love of God is. That's why I tell you, the love of God is a giving love. If you read through scripture, you'll find that. It's a giving love. Now, in that giving, we are familiar with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. Eternity, they have always been together. Right? They have never known any separation. I'm going somewhere with that. When God gave sacrificially his only begotten Son. Why? Because he loved the world. Correct? The world had its faults, but he saw the need. And that need can only be met sacrificially. See how powerful the love of God is. I'm going to tell you, when we understand that, and we're going to get to that a little bit tonight. I'm running out of time, that's why. You'll find that God did not hold back anything. Because God gave sacrificially, there were things, something that took place in the Trinity that never had taken place before. On the cross, Jesus Christ said, Father, my God, my God, why hast thou
forsaken me. He had experienced a forsaking that had never been experienced by the Trinity before. You understand that? Never. God gave his only begotten Son to a world that would not appreciate his giving. But he still gave. Because he saw that need and he was going to meet that need. You see? And even though it requires that separation for the moment, that did not stop him. That's powerful. The love of God that he gave, that the Son here cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Paul said that he became sin, who knew no sin, that we who are sinners might be made his righteousness. You understand that? The God who is the source of love, he showed that love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did not wait for the world to love him because the world cannot. He did not wait for the world to behave differently because it cannot. God saw all through the faults. He saw that need. And because he loved the world, he gave. Even though he's going now to experience, the Trinity going to experience something that they had never experienced in eternity past. Never experienced a separation. Never experienced the Son being made sin. He is the sacrifice, the Lamb of God for the sin of the world. He paid a debt I could not pay.
Amen.
You see? That's how powerful. No wonder John would say, if you see another brother in need of the world's goods, right? And you have plenty, you are able, and you close your heart of compassion, where is the love of God? That is why you and I, if we have the Holy Spirit, do we love the world? That we are willing to give sacrificially, that the world might hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You might say today, Sylvian, yes, we are in that mission conference. You might thought, boy, I'm going to give something. Think of you and I being here today when we think of the love of God. I could have been as a lost man in a, who knows, I could have been in prison today. I could have been in a bar today, having fun, having all of these things. But instead, I am a recipient of God's giving that made me take me from being a sinner to now that I've been born again. And I am not dependent on any of the world's activities. I am now dependent on the Holy Spirit. And guess what? I am here this morning. It's a recipient of the love of God. It's what enabled me to leave and go somewhere else. To learn a language that I never heard of. That I felt many times, why did I do something that stupid? I could have gone to an English-speaking country of all things. Gone to an English-speaking place. And be able to speak and have no problems. But instead, I do something that dumb, going and learn another language, going to a place that does not speak English. And I feel all sorts of weirdness because of it. But it's the love of God that had to have me, you know, sacrifice things, time, the feelings that go, the negative feelings of having to learn a language in order to be able to communicate the gospel to those that are dying and lost on the island of Curacao.
Are you and I willing to sacrifice even our time to share the gospel with others? You see, the love of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for John 3:16, that you love us, dear Father, that you held nothing back from the world. That, dear Father, you paid, you sent your Son to pay come sin for us, who knew no sin. That today, dear Lord, as the recipients of that love, we have been made the righteousness of your Son. And dear Father, before he left this earth, he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We know the Apostle Paul left and went to different areas preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, that they, dear Lord, might hear, understand, and believe the gospel. And in so doing, they are saved, like those Jews who heard the gospel. And dear Father, all through history now, the gospel has been preached in one way or the other throughout the world. And people are getting saved, dear Father. But dear Lord, we are in a mission conference where Mid Valley Baptist will determine how many missionaries they can support that would go out there to preach the gospel. Dear Father, I pray to God that your people will think, they will have that love, which they do, and to see what they can do, dear Father, to demonstrate that love, that the gospel, dear Father, what is at your heart is that every creature hear the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. And I pray to God that every member in this church might think of themselves as being recipients. And dear Lord, if there is any among us, dear Father, today who might not even know Christ as their personal Savior, dear Father, may today be the day they come to know Christ, because you have sacrificed, you have paid the price that we might have fellowship with thee. You chose, dear Lord, that for we not to go to eat through eternity lost and without hope, but instead you love us and you have held nothing back. We thank you that your Son paid that price. He experienced what he experienced on the cross, the agony on the cross. He thirst, and yet he did not get water to quench that thirst. Instead, he got vinegar. Oh, dear Father, I pray that we will look at that love, that you love the world, that he experienced what he did, that we might be here today. And there are many, dear Lord, out there who need to hear the word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Crawford.
All right. I think at this time we'll go ahead and take up the offering, love offering, what God has given.